In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Holy Spirit, we invite you into this space. Guide our words and open our hearts to the message you have for us in today's readings. Help us to see these ancient scriptures with fresh eyes and apply their wisdom to our lives today. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Welcome to our reflection for the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year C. You know, these readings are all about the call to discipleship and trusting in God's plan, even when it feels like, you know, like we're being asked to do something completely illogical. We've got Isaiah's awe-inspiring vision of God and Paul's powerful testimony of the resurrection and that incredible story of the miraculous catch of fish.
What's fascinating is how each of these readings touches on the tension between human weakness and divine power. We see it in the reactions of both Isaiah and Peter, this overwhelming sense of unworthiness when confronted with the divine.
Yeah, that feeling of, "Depart from me, Lord, for I am a sinful man," like Peter says. It's almost a visceral reaction to encountering something so much greater than ourselves. Do you think that's something people still experience today, even if they don't, you know, express it in those exact words?
Absolutely. I think that sense of awe and unworthiness is deeply embedded in the human psyche. We see it throughout history, across cultures, even in secular contexts. Mm. Think about standing on the edge of the Grand Canyon or witnessing a breathtaking sunset. There's a feeling of being humbled, of recognizing our smallness in the face of something vast and powerful.
So how does that feeling of being overwhelmed translate into a willingness to say yes to God's call? Because both Isaiah and Peter ultimately choose to follow, despite their initial fear.
That's the paradox, isn't it? It's precisely in recognizing our own limitations that we open ourselves to the possibility of something greater working through us. Think about Isaiah's response, "Here I am, send me." It's not a declaration of confidence in his own abilities, but a surrender to God's power.
It's like saying, "I'm not enough on my own, but I trust that you can use me anyway."
Exactly. And we see that same dynamic in the story of the miraculous catch of fish. Peter and the other fishermen have toiled all night using their own skill and experience and caught nothing. It's only when they obey Jesus's seemingly illogical command to put out into deep water that they experience this abundance beyond anything they could have imagined.
Like they have to let go of their own understanding, their own way of doing things, and surrender to a power beyond their comprehension.
And I think that's a really challenging message for us today. In a world that emphasizes self-reliance and control, it can be difficult to embrace the idea of surrendering to something outside ourselves.
Especially when that something asks us to do things that seem illogical or even impossible. Like if we're being honest, putting out into deep water when you've already been fishing all night and caught nothing, sounds like a recipe for frustration, not a miracle.
Right. And yet that's precisely where the miracle occurs. And I think that's what these readings are ultimately inviting us to do, step outside our comfort zones, to trust in a power beyond our understanding, and to say yes to God's call, even when it doesn't make sense to our human logic.
It's interesting because in that moment of surrender, both Isaiah and Peter, they echo a similar sentiment found in other parts of Scripture. I'm thinking of Mary's, "Let it be done to me according to your word," when the angel Gabriel appeared to her. Or even Jesus himself in the Garden of Gethsemane, "Not my will, but yours be done."
That's a powerful connection. It seems that this willingness to surrender our own will to God's is a recurring theme throughout salvation history. And perhaps it's the key to unlocking the kind of abundance and transformation that we see in these readings.
Speaking of transformation, I think it's time we shift gears to Paul's letter to the Corinthians. He takes a slightly different approach, but the message about surrendering to God's power is still there.
Absolutely. While Isaiah and Peter have these dramatic visual encounters with the divine, Paul's experience is more internal, focused on the transformative power of the resurrection.
He meticulously lists out all the appearances of the risen Christ, almost like he's building a legal case for the reality of the resurrection.
Yeah.
But it's more than just historical fact for him.
Right. For Paul, the resurrection is not simply a past event. It's a living reality that changes everything. It's the cornerstone of his faith, the source of his hope, and the driving force behind his mission to spread the gospel.
And what I find really interesting is that even Paul, this incredible apostle who travels all over the Roman Empire preaching about Jesus, still acknowledges his own unworthiness. He calls himself the least of the apostles, unfit to even be called an apostle because he persecuted the early church.
It's a remarkable example of humility. And it points to another important theme in these readings. God's grace is sufficient, even for those who feel unworthy or undeserving. Paul recognizes that everything he has accomplished, is only by the grace of God working through him.
It's like he's saying, it's not about me, it's about what God can do through me. Which, when you think about it, is really encouraging, because it means that none of us are disqualified from answering God's call, no matter what our past might look like.
Precisely. It's a reminder that God can work through anyone, regardless of their background, their mistakes, or their perceived limitations.
So we've got Isaiah surrendering to God's call despite his unworthiness, Peter experiencing the overwhelming abundance of God's power, and Paul being transformed by grace and becoming a vessel for the message of the resurrection. And all of these stories, in their own way, point to this idea of letting go of our own control and trusting in something greater than ourselves.
And I think that's a message that's just as relevant today as it was thousands of years ago.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
But what does that surrender look like in our everyday lives?
Mm.
I mean, we're not all being asked to leave our fishing nets behind and follow a prophet.
That's true. But I think the essence of the call remains the same. It's about recognizing those moments, when we're being invited to step outside our comfort zones, to trust in God's plan, even when it doesn't make sense, and to say yes to opportunities to serve others, even when we feel inadequate.
I like that. It's about finding those deep water moments in our everyday lives and being willing to cast our nets, so to speak, even when we're not sure what we'll catch.
Exactly. And I think it's also important to remember that this journey of discipleship isn't a solo mission. We're called to be part of a community.
Yeah.
To support one another and to encourage each other along the way.
Which brings us to another interesting point. All three of these readings take place in the context of community. Isaiah is in the temple, surrounded by the seraphim. Peter is with his fellow fishermen. Paul is constantly writing letters to the early Christian communities, offering guidance and encouragement.
That's a really insightful observation. It highlights the importance of shared experience and mutual support in our faith journeys. We're not meant to go it alone. We need each other to help us stay grounded, to challenge us when we get off track, and to celebrate our victories together.
It's like that African proverb, if you want to go fast, go alone. If you want to go far, go together.
Exactly. And I think that's especially true when it comes to navigating the complexities of faith and discipleship.
So as we reflect on these readings and consider what God might be saying to us through them, it seems like there are a few key takeaways that emerge.
I agree. I think the first is this idea of surrendering to God's plan, even when it doesn't make sense to our human logic. It's about trusting that God sees a bigger picture than we do, and that even our perceived failures can be used for a greater purpose.
Right. It's about letting go of our need to be in control. And allowing ourselves to be guided by a power beyond our understanding.
The second takeaway, I think, is the importance of recognizing our own unworthiness, not as a source of shame or discouragement, but as an invitation to rely more fully on God's grace.
It's like that beautiful line from Paul, "By the grace of God, I am what I am, and his grace to me has not been ineffective."
Exactly. It's a reminder that God can work through anyone, regardless of their past mistakes or perceived limitations.
And finally, I think these readings highlight the importance of community in our faith journeys. We're not meant to walk this path alone. We need each other for support, encouragement, and accountability.
Absolutely. It's in community that we can share our struggles and our triumphs, learn from one another, and grow together in our faith.
So as we go about our week, let's try to keep these takeaways in mind.
Yes, let's ask ourselves, where am I being called to surrender to God's plan, even when it doesn't make sense? How can I rely more fully on God's grace, especially in those areas where I feel inadequate or unworthy? And who are the people in my life who can support me on my faith journey and help me to stay connected to the community of believers?
These are powerful questions, and I think reflecting on them can lead to some real growth and transformation in our lives.
I agree. And I think there's no better place to encounter that transformative power than in the celebration of the Eucharist.
You're so right. The Mass is where we come together as a community to receive the body and blood of Christ, to be nourished by his presence, and to be sent out into the world to share his love.
It's the source and summit of our faith. The place where we encounter God in a tangible way and receive the grace we need to live out our call to discipleship.
So if you're feeling lost, discouraged, or simply in need of a spiritual boost, I encourage you to make Mass a regular part of your life.
It's a beautiful way to connect with God, to be strengthened by his love, and to find the support and encouragement we need to navigate the challenges of our daily lives.
And it's in that communal celebration of the Eucharist that we can truly experience the fullness of what it means to be a disciple of Christ.
Yes, to be sent out into the world, not as individuals striving to achieve some impossible ideal of perfection, but as a community empowered by God's grace to love and serve one another.
It's like those nets overflowing with fish. It's not about our effort alone, but about God's abundant grace filling us and spilling over into the lives of those around us.
That's a beautiful image to end on. And and I think it speaks to the heart of what these readings are trying to tell us. We're not called to be perfect. We're called to be open to God's transforming power. We're called to say yes, even when we're afraid, to trust even when it doesn't make sense, and to love even when it's difficult.
And to remember that we don't have to do it alone. We have each other, and we have the grace of God to sustain us every step of the way.
Well said. And I hope that this reflection has given you some food for thought as you continue on your own journey of faith.
Me too. Thank you so much for joining us for this reflection on the fifth Sunday in Ordinary Time, Year C. We hope you found it insightful and encouraging.
It's been a pleasure unpacking these readings with you. And remember, the journey of discipleship is ongoing. There will be challenges and triumphs, moments of doubt and moments of profound clarity. But through it all, God is with us, guiding us, and calling us to something more.
So go out into the world this week with a renewed sense of purpose and a willingness to say yes to God's call in whatever form it takes. And if you're looking for a place to be nourished and strengthened on your journey, we encourage you to join your local parish community for Mass this Sunday. It's in the breaking of the bread and the sharing of the cup that we truly encounter the risen Christ and are empowered to live out our faith in the world.
Thank you for listening, and may God bless you abundantly.